Talk Radio. Hello, world. Happy Monday. This is Gray Eye Smith, and you're listening to Garden of Enlightenment with Louie Wildove. And she is under the weather, so she won't be hosting tonight. Hopefully, we will hear from her, though. And tonight's show is based on a contest that Louie and I ran previously, and it was a dusting of snow quote. And I have the details here. The quote was, "Dust of snow, the way a crow shut down on me, the dust of snow from a tree has given my heart change of mood and saved some time, and saved some part of a day I had read, rude." So that was the quote. Sorry, I butchered that. But yeah, so we are, this show is brought to you by a group on allpoetry.com called Late Night Poets, and we have anthologies filled with poetry from poets around the world. So feel free to check those out as they help support these shows. Thank you. All right, I'm going to check the studio real quick here, and we have two callers. That's great. Area code 585, how are you, Lawrence?
This is 585 responding over and out. Good evening, my friend.
How are you? Besides blanketed in
tired.
Snow.
I'm tired, but I had to take a big nap after the workout, but I almost didn't wake up in time. Thankfully, I did.
I appreciate you calling in to share your time. Okay, I'm going to grab the next caller here. Area code 703. Hello, is that you, Thomas?
Yeah, that's me. I'm here, I think, mostly.
Well, great to hear from you, Thomas.
Oh, thank you.
Absolutely. Okay. I don't know why. Oh, that's why.
Beware he who answers his own question.
Okay, I'm going to post the first poem, if you wouldn't mind, please, Mark. Oh, actually, this has a SoundCloud.
And I will listen.
SoundCloud. Okay, great. Thank you.
Like a Dust of Snow by Martha Gallo.
Oh, memories, what happened there?
Like...
That's under collab. I'm going to try Martha Gallo and see if that ends up as collab.
Like a Dust of Snow by Martha.
No. Okay, I'm going to have to get you to read it, Lawrence. There's been a mix-up in the SoundClouds.
Well, I hope I can do her justice. No problem. This is called A Winter's Flake of Wisdom. Each breath a gift, each word a pearl, as new air fills lungs. Rejoice in this accomplishment with a murmur, a simple prayer such as a thank you. Even when darkness spills along your path, bathe in it, befriend it, but don't let it forever tar your vision. Know that without it, you couldn't appreciate the light. Inasmuch as after the rain there is sun, learn to endure pain, for the rule of nature is nothing stays the same. Smell the ions pricking your nostrils. Close your eyes. Soak up those rare winter rays and welcome with open heart all that falls from the sky, whether sun, rain, wind, or snow. It can only help to make you grow. End poem.
It was a beautiful read, Lauren. And it's a touching poem, you know, about sharing the darkness to admire the light. I thought it was really well done. What did you think, Thomas?
I delighted in this. I love the way that he brings up the negatives and goes, they're part of life. Accept them. Move on. They will pass. And enjoy what you can where you can. Good advice. Great poem.
Thank you, Thomas. And Lauren, what are your thoughts?
I really enjoyed the title, The Winter's Flake of Wisdom. You almost see somebody staring at a snowstorm and maybe have a small epiphany, you know. Even though I'm getting crapped on by this boatload of snow, it's been cold, I can't go anywhere. But, all right, time to relax. Time to take the moment and use it to some kind of betterment. If she says, bathe in it, befriend it, but don't let it forever tar your vision. Know that without it, you couldn't appreciate the light. In music, you know, for every strong moment, there is a softer moment. In poetry, for every strong verse, there's perhaps something a little bit less strong. And in life, there are good and bad, and accept both and move on. It's sound advice, beautifully couched in poetic form.
Well said. Thank you, Lord. Appreciate that. Okay, let me grab the next poem. Do you have to read and run tonight, Thomas? Hello, Thomas?
Yeah.
Are you able to hang out, or do you have to read and run tonight?
I'm probably good for the next 10, 15 minutes for sure. After that, I don't know.
Okay. All right. Okay, I have the next write-up, if you wouldn't mind, please, Thomas.
Sure. We have Oh, Gust of Snow Rondeau by Here in My Heart. Oh, dust of snow. Oh, dust of snow. Let me count the ways I love thee as little snowflakes kiss my cheek. It's out my window. I'll take a peek beneath the moonlight's afterglow. Whirl, twirl, as quietly winds blow. In the snow, a deer casts his shadow. Beware the road, as there so seek, old dust of snow. Beneath heaven, its afterglow, as the moon shines a lovely show. Nearby, the Pigskill Hollow Creek, its lovely view thrill seekers seek as snowflakes fall, a lovely show. Oh, dust of snow. End poem.
Beautiful read. Wonderful read, Thomas. And, you know, I like it. You know, it's lighthearted and it's, I really like its flow. Oh, dust of snow, dust of snow. Let me count the ways I love thee. Those little snowflakes kiss my cheek. It's out my window, I'll take a peek beneath the moonlight to afterglow. You know, you can just feel the child and you come out in, with the amazement of snow. What did you think, Lord?
I like it quite a lot because it brings out certain elements of classical poetry and borrows from the classics. Oh, dust of snow, oh, dust of snow, let me count the ways I love thee. It's pretty obvious, but it keeps it modern, and it's a brevity. So this gives us that moment, a beautiful little moment, the afterglow of the moon, the Peekskill Hollow Creek. Well done. Well done.
Thank you, Lord. I appreciate that. And I'd like to welcome Bobby to the show.
Good evening.
Hi, Bobby.
Hey, Bobby.
Did you get a chance to hear the last poem that Thomas read?
I did. It was very lighthearted. It was enjoyable, and I liked the rondo form. I liked the structures of some of the more formal ones. It's a challenge to write something in these very very rigorous structures, and I think this person did this very well. And the Oh, Dust of Snow, like you said, it is very lighthearted.
I agree. Thank you, Bobby. And Thomas, what are your thoughts?
Oh, I just enjoyed it. It had a nice rhyme meter, a nice sense of lyricism, and it was just one of those things where you came away going, yeah, I enjoyed that. That felt good. And so it is.
Absolutely, yes. Thank you, Thomas. Okay, Bobby, I've got the next write-up, if you wouldn't mind, please.
Oh, no, not at all.
Like hell. But,
on a Christmas mid-afternoon. Okay. By Joseph Kushner. On a Christmas mid-afternoon. Into my backyard I traversed with a sob. Winter's long toil has dampened my Yule high. Memories of seasonal ghosts pranced in my head, erasing my smile and causing me nervous dread. In a tall climbing grove of spruce and pear, a flutter spilled leaves and snow into my hair. Blooming branches cast their shadows wide and great, concealing high above a crimson bird of noble state. The cardinal greeted me with a chirpy Christmas song, lifting my spirits with a chiseled grin deep and long. With a bow of his head, he took off in skyward flight, gifting me with companionship and peaceful midwinter. And gone.
Well, that was a wonderful read, Bobby. You know, I really like the sentiment of this poem, you know, where a bird, you know, shakes snow and leaves on your hair and ends up putting a smile on your face with its Christmassy song. And I thought it was just beautifully done. What did you think, Laura?
I love the precise rhyming and the image of the cardinal. It's such a cheery bird, whether he's in a good mood or not. I always smile when I see a cardinal because of his color and his somewhat browner mate. In the background, waiting for him to signal all clear. So when he says, the cardinal greeted me with a chirpy Christmas song, lifting my spirit with a chiseled grin, deep and long, I know exactly what he means. Great piece.
Well said. Thank you, Lloyd. And Thomas, what are your thoughts?
I this is sort of an interesting, the way he sort of catches the way that the time, shall we say, that follows Christmas, where you sort of have to deal with the after effects. And I had to laugh at the one about the flutter spill leaves and snow into my hair. I experienced that more than once, especially when you don't have a good scarf and the snow goes on the back of your neck.
Yeah.
I like the business about the cardinals. The first snow we had here, which knocked out the lights, also covered up the bird feeders so bad that I had to bring them inside so they'd defrost. When I put them out, the cardinals let me know that I shouldn't have taken them in to begin with, because obviously they were supposed to get to them all the time.
Yeah.
The whole poem is delightful. It just reminded me well of the season and the myriad of feelings, positive and negative, that one feels during that time of the year.
Absolutely. Great comment, Thomas. Thank you. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
I enjoyed this. It's very lighthearted. It's actually almost like it was out of a children's book. But I enjoy cardinals because this time of the year, everything else is so drab. And you see this little flash of red fly into a tree or a bee around your house. And you hear that chip, 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 chip. And I always find that so so cheery, that little greeting that it has. I enjoyed this poem. I think it really does a nice justice, an homage to the cardinal, and it does cheer you up when you see it.
Absolutely, thank you, Bobby. Okay, I have the next poem up. It's by Jeg 325. He has a SoundCloud, so I'll play that.
The title of the poem is A Leaf Covered in Snow. Deciding to go for a winter's walk, hint of snow and dark-laden clouds, frosted breath billowing outward like steamy white frozen shrouds. I found an oak leaf on the ground, a smattering of whiteness upon it, the image remaining stuck inside, leaving me lost for a long moment. But wasn't my world exactly the same, buried beneath a blanket of frost? So I shook the frigid leaf until clean, watching worries vanish like snowflakes tossed. The end.
Well, that was a beautiful read, and I really found the poem insightful and uplifting. I found an oak leaf on the ground, a smattering of whiteness upon it. The image remained stuck inside me, leaving me lost for a long minute. But wasn't my world exactly the same? You know, it makes you really think about that. What did you think, Lauren?
I agree with you. And the second part of it, wasn't my world exactly the same, buried beneath a blanket of frost? And if you take those two words and apply it in different directions, it's true. Had a lousy day, but the year is still pretty good. Had a terrible day, but it's been a great week. Nothing changes sometimes except the surface. Remove the surface and everything is the same. And I love his last lines, watching worries vanish like snowflakes tossed. Nicely done.
Well said. Thank you, Lauren. Great comment. And Thomas, what are your thoughts?
This is almost, no, I can't think of the word. It's really bad. It's like, it reminds you that just like the way the world works, so we work. Sometimes, you know, we carry the world on our shoulders and there's really no need. We just sort of have to shake it all off and accept. I shook the frigid leaf until clean, watching worries vanish like snowflakes tossed. Sometimes that's the best way to look at everything. Very well done.
Well said. Thank you, Thomas. And Bobby.
I like the philosophical bend to the ending of it. He's out for a winter's walk and sees a dusty leaf and thinks to himself, well, the leaf looks like it had a bad day and I had a bad day, but we both shake it off. It's interesting to look at, we can see parallels in nature if we only look. And this poem has someone very observant seeing things around them and seeing the parallel to their lives. It's very nicely done.
Well said. Thank you, Bobby. That was a great comment. Okay, I've got the next poem here, and this is by Rick66, and it's called On Ice. Most kids knew I was one of the fastest edge ice skaters at the park, but I wanted to make sure she knew it too. With big snowflakes swirling and dancing, tarantulas in the air, I made big precision loops around the big outdoor rink and headed straight towards her at high speed, where she stood, ankle deep in a snowbank by the benches on the east side of the ice. I planned my own version of a salchow leap, followed by a spectacular snowplow stop inches from where she stood, whereupon she would undoubtedly take my hand and accompany to the skater shack to warm up in front of a delightful blazing fire while sipping on hot chocolate with marshmallows. But my left skate got caught in an unexpected rough spot on the ice, and I fell, sliding the last 5 or 6 feet between she and I on my posterior. She looked down and smiled and winked at me. "Ham, delivered to my door," she said. Laugh out loud. That was funny. Yeah, you know, when you put on this big show and you're going to be the star of the ball and you just fall flat on your ass and come sliding into home like that. That's just fantastic. I loved it. Imagery was great, and I like the mental aspect of it as well. Well done, Rick. What did you think, Lauren?
I had to laugh. This is all the elements of a really good YouTube video. if you think about it. I like the way he uses the tarantellas, planning his loop-the-loops, ready to show her exactly how good and how fast he is. And, you know, more often than not, when we plan this kind of thing, Mother Nature always throws us a curve. And that curve was encountered as a rough spot on the ice. And there he went, sliding at her feet. And she was quick. Ham delivered to my door. You can't beat that.
Yeah. Right. Well said. Thank you. Thank you, Lauren. And Thomas, what did you think?
You have to laugh. It's like no matter how good you are, the minute you try to show off, you end up on your ass more often than not. That or like when you're trying to, my theory is that when you're trying to show somebody how to do something, that's when you always screw it up and make a mistake or forget a step somewhere in the middle. I think this was just spot on. It speaks to the ego in all of us and how beautifully it can pancake when we don't want it to. It was delightful.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, I agree. Thank you, Thomas. And Bobby.
Oh, very relatable. Like you said, I like the of the big snowflakes swirling and dancing tarantellas. And I like the second, I planned my own version of a Salco leap, followed by a spectacular snowplow stop. And you can see this person envisioning all of this in his mind. And how spectacular it's going to impact, and then you have he on his skate and he slides right up to. Now I wish he had continued the poem and told us what his reaction was, because he told us that the girl and she was wonderful delivery. I'm surprised she didn't applaud too. But I wish he had included whether he laughed or cried or what, because that is so much of a character tell. I mean, when you're walking into you're a sophomore and you're walking into the cafeteria with your brand new sweater on, trying to make an entrance, and you step on a green bean and slide halfway across the cafeteria, and still recover. You know, if you're standing there laughing, that's the way to do it.
Yeah.
I really did enjoy this, though. I mean, it's so very human and so very relatable.
Well said. Thank you, Bobby. Okay, Lauren, I have the next write-up, if you wouldn't mind, please.
All righty. EJ Cool gives us Womb. Rejoice and be warmed within winter's womb, potent praises sheathed in precious furs, feathered from sedated lungs and steamy plume, hints of hibernal buzz and borrowed urns. Recharge and be renewed by cryostasis, succumb to nature's frozen lullabies, sleepwalkers guided through seasonal phases, underground passages and rooted ice. Held fast by fatty food and hard-fought fortitude, cushioned in adipose and enriched sinews. Time travelers prepare to see spring's shy prelude, guarded in dry leaf languish by drowsy shrews. Kiss of melting snowdrip wakes dreaming beauty, lifting fluttering eyes of newborn surprise, to greet the pale yellow sun in mother's duty, presents earth a stational, glorific pride. End poem.
Well, that was a wonderful read, Lauren. And, you know, the poem is definitely deep and metaphoric. You know, it's rich in imagery, and you can feel all this as you read through it. Time travelers prepare to see spring's shy prelude, guarded in dry leaf language by drowsy shrews. You know, it's a beautifully written poem. What did you think, Thomas?
It's almost like a painting. I love the imagery, recharge and be renewed by cryostasis, succumb to nature's frozen lullabies. It almost sings, and at the same time, you can feel the brushstrokes of the imagery that this creates, such that it's almost like a holiday Christmas card sent to you to delight you and make you feel wonderful about how wet, cold, and miserable the season is. Sorry. We had, after the heavy snow, we put out all the electricity. The next one didn't put out the electricity. It was followed by a nice icy rain, so that everything's nice and slippery, and I can't get out of the house.
Oh, no.
I've already taken my fall for the season. Hopefully there won't be any others.
Well, just sorry to hear that. And Bobby,
really,
what are your thoughts?
It's a delightful picture.
Oh. Absolutely, yes. Thank you. Bobby, what are your thoughts?
I focused on this area, recharge and be renewed by cryostasis. Succumb to nature's frozen lullabies. Sleepwalkers guided through seasonal phases, underground passages and brooded ice. I really like this. This is wonderful visual imagery. And it is seasoned so artfully with technical terminology. Cryostasis, adipose, and rich sinews. This is so typically cool. She does this, and she does it with such aplomb and such skill. I always enjoy reading her work because she does lace complex words and scientific notation in with her poetry, which I think is a beautiful counterbalance to you have flowery, florid language, and here you've got her leaning on the scientific side, and I think it gives it a nice balance.
Yeah, absolutely. Good eye. Okay, Thomas, I have your write-up. If you wouldn't mind, please.
Okay, thank you. This is called Song for Supper. For everything there is a category. When none fit, create one. It shall be known, as well as the efforts of many to determine how and who shall judge it. The crows on the fence in the branches of trees comment upon everything, rise up in a murder to chase away the circling hawk. The creditor is circling, the rivers of death rise, and the days of easy breathing are quickly silenced by cries of desperation, the damnation of the jury who claim it is time to pay for our sins. Who shall write the history of conspiracy made truth? Who shall tell the tale of how millions were hung on the veracity of greed rather than provided the miracle of mercy and the gifts of love? Walk with me. Tell me who or what comes first. Is it the money? Is the temple of greed the sign of the fist wrapped around the dollar the first goal for all? Is it progress? Is the goal to say that all displaced left behind has so much weight is an acceptable price for progress? Is it power? The rule of the top of the heap, king of the hill, all that is important. Any that will not fight for their right to be left behind to wallow in the waste of leaders. I can hear all the denial. I can hear the sighs of joy when the child at birth begins their cries, are we there, when their tears are from hunger, abuse? What's the cost? What could we lose? Humans are many. They swarm like a tide. What does it matter if a few of them die? Wars are not fought for freedom. That's a lie. It's only a political afterthought to help create armies. Wave the flag high. God is on our side. Science has advanced so we can almost touch the stars. Medicine can fold and unfold like origami the rules of life. Our ability to till the ground, live the good life, drives us up and out to the planets about us. Before, they were only portents of our futures. We are still only as socially as adept as we were when Epictetus, enslaved, preached how to live a good life. We still fight between his sense of the moral might, the rules of an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, and who's going to win if I decide to fight. Shall we wait for the rise of the rare individual to lead us to right the next wrong? Shall we grow bitter and resentful, say little will change? It always comes down to what is important. What song are you willing to sing? Who's going to rescue me? Or, oh, I'm getting old, I know the tune, just let me think. End poem.
Well, that was a beautiful read and a powerful poem. Deeply profound. It's definitely a thought-provoking, right? You know, you have so much, you've hit on so many nails here that it's hard to keep up with the banging. But I thought it was just wonderfully done. What did you think, Lawrence?
I was mightily impressed. The language in this is not abrasive at all. It's rather almost calm and meditative. And yet, it's a scathing look at the world today, and the past, for that matter. Song for Supper. I like the image of the crows rising to chase away the circling hawk, and then immediately follow it with the creditor is circling, the rivers of debt rise, the days of easy breathing are being quickly silenced. That was very well done. And then he asked, what's going to walk me? Tell me who or what comes first. And he embarked on a brief exploration of greed and how the world is run. And he asked again the question, who are we going to follow? Who are we going to listen to? Here it is. Shall we wait for the rise of rare individual to lead us? And it's not always politicians that lead. Edison led. Other inventors of his time and his ilk, like Ford, led. They were game changers. Their technologies were disruptive. They changed an entire way of life. So when he says, "Who shall be next to lead us?" To me, it's Elon Musk. Because what he's doing is as every bit disruptive, game-changing Ford and Edison, if not more so. I would willingly follow him because he believes in us. He believes in the world, the way it could be a better place, the fact that all of us really need to reap mercy that Thomas talks about, the miracle of mercy, not the veracity. This is a hell of a poem, Thomas. Really enjoyed it.
No, thank you.
Fabulous comment, Bart. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
I'm in. It is profound, philosophical, a very complex, a very dense right. With a deceptively simple title, and the beginning belays the depth and complexity of the latter part of the piece, and it asks some very salient questions. This is a piece that really it's a contemplative piece. You need to sit and digest it and think about what it has to say. This outpouring of philosophy, Thomas, is just words fail me. I mean, this is a truly impressive write. A lot of of depth of insight. Beautifully done.
That was a great comment. Thank you, Bobby. Okay, I'm going to grab the next poem here.
Yeah, I'm going to have to call it quits, guys. Thanks for everything. But I got to go.
Absolutely.
I have to take
Have care. A wonderful night. Good night, Thomas.
Good night.
Good night. Okay, so I'm going to post this next poem. If you wouldn't mind reading, Bobby.
Oh,
by Tomahawk.
Okay. A Dusting of Renewal by Tomahawk. Venturing out on a cold early winter's night in a memory that was not so very long ago, the moon's luminescence had shone so bright that it inexorably seemed to move me ever so. And it was that I witnessed an awesome miracle as a diaphanous, gentle snow flurried round. All that these splendid moments, so empirical, may bless us with the music of nary a sound. This theme was like an intense epiphany to me of something that I really should have known as lovely and ephemeral as the dust of snow be. It simply was the blessings that God had shown. So I danced happily with a joy non-parallel. As the dusting of the snow graced the ground, I prayed an ardent prayer. To my knees I fell. This night was blessed with silent resound. For only I could hear it. The night was mine. As it was outside, my being felt chambra, and it was amazing how this gentle snow, so fine, rebirthed my sense and sensibility this way. Now, as I retire to my dwelling for the eve, my heart was as bright as the moon above, for the gentle dusting of snow took my leave, giving me a renewal of peace, hope, and love. End poem.
That was beautifully read, Bobby. You know, it's just a beautiful poem of, you know, introspection and change, you know, having the snow dusting carry away your troubles and be rebirthed with light. I thought it was beautifully done. What did you think, Lord?
I enjoyed this a great deal. And it was that I witnessed an awesome miracle. The diaphanous gentle snow flurried round, that all these splendid moments, so empirical, may bless us with the music of nary a sound. That the poem contains some gorgeous imagery, really gracing us with that magic moment that is so relatable, that night when the moon shines so brightly, and more importantly, there's no sound. And sometimes when there is action and a change of scenery around us, but it's silent. The moment is that much more special, more magical, almost an intense epiphany, as he says. So this is a wonderful appreciation of a magic moment that is so relatable.
Well said. Thank you, Lord. Great comment. And Bobby, what did you think?
I enjoyed this. It was almost spiritual in its treatment of a winter evening. And what's interesting is I have found myself with that same feeling anytime there's a heavy snow and I'm in that environment, which we don't get very much around here. But also they've proven that snow actually is a sound dampener. You'll lose about 6% of your sound around snow. So it really does have a muffling, almost insulating a quality to it when there's enough of it on the ground. Really enjoyed the way he's sick of nary a sound. And I've found myself enjoying that silence, because you get it only when there's a really heavy snow.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Thank you, Bobby. Okay, so I have the next poem, and it has a SoundCloud by Titus.
Just snow, a far more touching scene. Didst raise above upon which slept a snow-white dove, for which 'twas kept within me deep. For how long snow shall wholly keep the status quo? Afar from touch I do explore. This much is such to sweet adore the deep duck down. Bird a suave, more soothing gown of silk would sigh. Intrepid dreams, lovelorn drifting, snow sultry themes show, uplifting not in absence, moving tales as those whose alliance said silence chose. White as the snow doth lay its palms around me. Show how deep love calms the balmy air. Of spring it shall be winter, spare no weight, morale.
Well, it was a beautiful read. A very touching poem. You know, his language is very classic. And, you know, it's definitely metaphoric and deep as well. What are your thoughts, Lawrence?
As you said, beautifully read. And as he says in his Dust of Snow, and so I touch the surface, just. He breaks his normal, long, intricate lines up into three- and four-word lines with language that is a little less esoteric, but all the more impactful for now. For that, I mean, afar from touch, I do explore this much as such the sweet ardor. He cleverly done, really, all the way through, and a lovely look at snow and its effect on us.
Great comment. Thank you, Lauren. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
I agree with that comment. It is Titus always treats us to something very lyrical, very elegant, and is no exception. His metaphors are exquisite. The deep duck down has spurred a suave, more soothing gown of silkwood salve, and his lines remind me of when you're standing and looking up at snowfall, how it has this floating back and forth, like his verse is with the shortened lines, just a light falling, like the snow. Beautifully done.
Great comment, thank you, Bobby. Okay, I've got the next poem up. Actually, it's my read. So, it's called "What Melts Snow" by Greg Gall. Pick and place out flowers in the snow. Beauty bloomed in this thin, frozen crust. Crisp color petals, soft to the touch. Scarlet roses there to lay and glow. Truths that thrill and make hearts blush. In early days, don't trust too much. Wintry times won't forever stay. We are all as pure as the driven slush. Some say snow gently coats our land, every flake filled with crystal fineness, falling from a cooling cobalt sky, this divine dust sprinkled by his hand. Yet in each is a radiant ray, facing this season with human hope. Flowers and snow won't wilt from fear, which will warm winter woes far away. End poem. And that was beautifully written, you know. Truths that thrill make hearts blush in early days, don't trust too much. Winter times won't forever stay. We're all pure as the driven slush. Just haunting lines. What did you think, Lauren?
Well, pick in place, cut flowers in the snow. Beauty blooms in this thin, frozen crust. Crisp colored petals, soft to the touch. Scarlet roses there to lay and glow. Flowers in snow won't wilt from fear. As he says earlier in the poem, is a great line. It's colorful against the white blanket, each emblematic of human hope. It's a wonderful seasonal piece.
Well said. Thank you, Lauren. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
The opening stanza and the closing stanza are so impactful. They flank this piece so beautifully because he introduces us to the cut flowers in the snow, and then we revisit them at the end, that wilt from fear, which will warm winter while it's far away. It's quite a vivid visual image, the contrast of the colored flowers against the snow. It is a beautifully done piece.
Well said, thank you. Thank you, Bobby. And I put up the next poem. It's supposed to have a SoundCloud. Yep, okay, I got it. Here we go.
Nature comes to those who wait. Idle wings a poem so, till the landscape makes me yearn. Your brush spills well above my plow, how the heavy clay must turn. I clothe the turf beneath me burning, ancient oaks now shed their skin. Young saps press on my brow discerning. Trim the borders, sleek and thin. Wintry fields in state of mourning, my weathered brambly creeks innate. Downstream, the bed and furrows stony. Trick the banshee, break the slate. These hills inspire the onward journey. Nature comes to those who wait.
Well, that was beautifully done. I really liked the poem. It has haunting imagery and a fascinating storyline. For such a brevity, you know, it really packed a punch. What are your thoughts, Lawrence?
Well, wintry fields in state of mourning, my weathered brambly creeks innate. Downstream the bed in furrows stony, trick the banshee, break the slate. These hills inspire the onward journey. Nature comes to those who wait. I thought this was gripping, moving, gentle, almost a prayerful admonition, done in superior rhyme and image, and I love the music as well. Really a very nice SoundCloud.
Great comment. Thank you, Lauren. And Bobby, what are you thinking?
Very classical piece. I almost felt like we're being treated to a reading from one of the greats. The language is so classic, and the rhyming, the structure, beautifully presented. The reading is beautiful. It's just a very pleasing piece, and very contemplative, too. winter fields in state of mourning. A great phrase, because they do look that way. Now, when you think about it, I like that the way he's depicted that. It's a beautiful piece.
Wonderful comment, Bobby. Thank you. Okay, Lawrence, I have your poem up if you're whenever you're ready.
All right. This is a bit of fluff about a bit of fluff called Keeping It Real. How clever my pause, how deft my claws to suspend me in the vertical. My arch is divine, a most supple feline, perfectly positioned cervical. I'm not here to steal, but let's keep it real. Save my people the trouble. Cat does what it can as partner with man, helping with the daily struggle. What's this? It's empty. Normally there's plenty. Gone for the day, feeling forgotten. This won't go well. I'm a cat from hell, perfectly capable of being rotten. Toilet paper to destroy, urinary tricks to deploy, sheer curtains to climb and shred, leave fur everywhere, vomit hairballs to be fair, gift of bloody mouse, not quite dead. Frozen and staring, pious while glaring, I pray for my food to manifest. Awaken, cat goddess Bast, perform your miracle fast. This position exhausts, I confess. End poem.
Wow, I loved it. Beautiful job, Lauren. You know, you really captured that whole picture prompt beautifully. And I thought it was just a fabulous poem with excellent rhyme and meter. Beautifully done, Lauren.
Thank you.
You bet. Bobby, what did you think of the poem?
It is wonderfully descriptive of the acrobatics depicted in the picture, and the first person interpretation is quite clever. The structure is also very very pleasing, the way it reads, and it's I like some what's this? It's empty. Normally there's plenty. This won't go well. I'm a cat from hell. I really love the wit in this, and the whimsy, and the rhyming of the humor of the whole thing is very delightful read. I really enjoyed this.
Thank you, Bobby.
Great comment. Would you like to say anything about your poem, Lauren?
I tell you what, there's not that much to say about it. I saw the image, I looked at the feet, I saw what the cat was doing, and there has to be an enormous amount of force exerted on the upper body to try and keep as close as it needs to be. So the first two lines, how clever my paws, how deft my claws, sat there for a while and looked at me, and then the third line hit me, and after that it just went smooth.
Yeah, well, it went great. Excellent poem. And welcome to the show to you, Aldo.
Hey, Gray. Hi, Lauren. Hi, Bobby.
Hello, you.
Hi, guys.
Did you get a chance to hear Lauren's poem?
I heard most of him read this. You know, if there is a way to get to some food, they're going to find it. Doesn't matter the angle, the height. They will find a way. They're like, what's the name of that musician? That not musician, but that Houdini. That's who I'm trying to think of. They can twist, turn, climb, complain, and get to anything you may not want them to get to. They will find a way to get to it. I love this photograph. That is so cute. Because it just shows you how ambidextrous that they are. And, you know, if they got their snacky up there, they're going to find a way to get to their snacky.
Yeah. Absolutely. Okay, so I have the next poem here. This is by Captain B2, aka Bobby, and she has a poem. I mean, a sound card.
Okay.
Here you come again. Just when I've begun to think I comprehend you, you let me in the house. I've brought a gift, a mouse, and you jump and scream like you've never seen one. Here you come again. From your very busy morning doing all the house chores, I see the laundry's done. Time to have some fun, so I'll jump right in to the nice warm towels. You haven't begun to figure out that you're really just my attendance, and making me happy's what it's all about. Cats don't have owners, we're just for two independents. Here you come again. What have I done that's made you so unhappy? Cause you're not pretty upside down. Your smile becomes a frown, and my cute acrobatics just aren't working. All I gotta do is purr and smile, and there go all your defenses. Just leave it up to me, and in a little while, I'll be teasing the neighbor's dog and dipping under fences. Here you come again. Just after I finish digging up your fern plants, like a potato about to blow, so angry that you glow, and here you come again. So here I go. Here I go. And here you come again. And here I go. Here you come again. And there I go.
That was great, Bobby. Fantastic
and
scene.
Poem.
And
thank
I really,
goodness.
I really like the parody on the song. You know, he did a fabulous job of it with the personification of the cat. Beautifully done, Bobby. What did you think, Laura?
Thank you.
Well, I can understand why you apologized to Dolly Parton, but I thought you acquitted yourself rather well, actually. I wasn't sure how you'd ever sound when you sung. You didn't sound ridiculous at all.
I felt like it.
I think you grabbed the essence of the cat so perfectly all the way through this. The various things that cats do, bringing presents, usually something dead or half dead. And what cat does not like laundry? Are you kidding me? But the stanza that struck out for me was, you haven't begun to figure out that you're really just my attendants. And making me happy is what it's all about. Cats just don't have owners. We're just far too independent, which is exactly true about cats. But the eternal, or the repetitive phrase, here you come again, normally precedes an action that's unappreciated by the owner. I love thee because you're not pretty upside down. Your smile becomes a frown. But, you know, all I got to do is purr and smile, and there go all your defenses until the next moment when you're like a volcano about to blow. I thought it was charming, witty, well-rhymed. A real pleasure to listen to, Bobby.
Thank you. That was a fun ride.
Absolutely, yeah. Louie, what did you think?
Well, I thought she did a fantastic job in doing this. I enjoyed it thoroughly. I enjoyed listening to her sing. I enjoyed the music. I enjoyed the rhyme parody with Dolly Parton, you know, because it's true. Just when you think you can understand your cat will do something that'll just totally flip your mind. Like the other day, I came home, and my cat opened the door with his paws and took off. I could have killed him.
Oh,
I would
no.
have never thought he would have been able to open the door, but he did. He opened the door, and he escaped. You know, it's just like, you know, when you let your guard down with a cat, they can get in all kinds of trouble. They're just like a child.
Yeah, I agree. Thank you, Leah. And Bobby, would you like to say anything about your poem?
Well, it was all inspired by that photograph at the top of the cat hanging upside down. And I have two cats, and so I put myself in the place of the cat hanging upside down and kind of went from there. And for some strange reason, the Dolly Parton song popped into my head. I couldn't make it go away, so I made it work for me.
Oh.
There you go.
And it's good to try to be flat through the whole song because I won't.
Well, it did fantastic. Thank you, Bobby. Okay, Lou, I have the next write-up, if you wouldn't mind, please.
Okay. By Daniel, this Tina,
yes.
The Darkness Within. Out of the trenches once more we arise. Let the battle begin from the battle within. A battle of self, an impossible win. For the ultimate prize, a prolonged demise. A battle with demons from previous sins. I claw at my mind but barely break skin. And still wait for the replies from long-forgotten eyes. A warrior plans, but highly unwise, to let the demons arise from the dark place within. With a friendly disguise and a devious grin, they silence my cries and everything dies, lost and forgotten, buried within. End poem.
Wow, that was a bit of a haunting, right? It can eat you up if you let it, the darkness, you know. You have to keep fighting for that light. A battle with demons from previous sin. I claw my mind but barely break skin and wait for replies from long-forgotten eyes. A warrior's plan, but highly unwise. Yeah, you know, looking at the beast.
Hello?
Methinks he has lost his way, but we'll be back.
Oh, my voice.
Yeah, I went and looked to see what he was writing about, and I want to congratulations on his award that he got for this poem. He wrote for a pain from Love and Pain, and the quote was, "There are wounds that never show on body that are deeper and more hurtful than anything that bleeds." What did you think about this poem, Laurent?
Well, those last lines, "with a friendly disguise and a devious grin, they silence my cries as everything dies, lost and forgotten, buried therein." It's almost like an indictment of everything and everybody around him. Somebody was drowning in an emotional whirlpool almost. Now to let the demons arise from a dark place of it, he could not have been in a very good spot when he wrote this piece, because it really communicates blackness, a depression, a darkness that comes from within that battle that he mentions at the beginning. Beautifully done.
Well said. Thank you, Laura.
Thank you.
And Bobby.
Oh, he's back.
He's back.
And Bobby, what are your thoughts, Bobby?
Air of this. Whoever said haunting, I completely agree with him. A very dark piece the despair, a battle of self, an impossible win for the ultimate prize, a prolonged demise, a battle with demons from previous sin. This is so, it's like they're standing at the edge of the abyss, staring in, and it's beckoning to them. Like when you stand up from a great height and look over, it's you almost are afraid to because you're going to plunge in without doing it willingly. And that's what it feels like, that he's standing at the edge of the abyss.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Very relatable. Okay, I've got the next poem here. This is by Naomi Sarah, and it's called Hidden Words. And it's got a picture quote. It says, words are different when they lived inside of you. And it goes, my heart wept that day, shuddering under your indifference. An icicle slowly meandering its way down my neck to melt so cold in the arch of my back. But I hid those words, oh, those dreaded words you'd not yet spoken. Those words I did not want to hear, burning acid, scorching the inside of my stomach, each syllable a knot tightening, crushing my neck. And then one morning, those words came out and struck me down. Just three words. I met another. Three simple words, yet so powerful, carrying along each letter the weight of finality. And the end of a life as I had known it, my loud banging on a door being nailed shut. Words, while still hidden deep within you, let me bathe in the caressing waters and maybes, but once spilled from your mouth, drowned me under their crashing wave. Words that sucked the air from my lungs as I spiraled deep under each vowel, each consonant, to resurface, gasping, trying to grasp fresh breath. End poem. Well, that was a powerful poem about a breakup, you know, how powerful they can be and tragic they can be on somebody's soul, especially when, you know, it's those three words, I've met another. Just a powerful, powerful, right? Steeped in emotionality and wonderfully written, a powerful poem. What are your thoughts, Mark?
I've got to agree with everything that you said, my friend. Naomi really writes well. I didn't know her that well when she began, and I waited to see what types of poetry she could come up with, and I usually find them deeply personal, very moving and emotional. And she starts the poem that way. And my heart wept that day, shuddering under your indifference, an icicle slowly meandering its way down my neck to melt so cold in the arch of my back. What a wonderful way to describe that awful revelation that he is indifferent to you. There really is nothing there. But of course, as she says, I hid those words. Oh, those dreaded words you've not yet spoken, those words I did not want to hear. But you know, those words are coming, as she proceeds in a way that is very, very moving to describe the emotions that follow. Beautifully done.
That was a great comment, Laurent. Thank you. And Bobby, what did you think?
I don't know where to begin on it. This is a stunning piece. It's raw, it's real, visceral, it's powerful, very intense, and horribly, horribly relatable. Her three words were I met another, and the three words I got were, well, are you in love with her? And the three words I heard were, I don't know. And she has described the feeling with such accuracy. You have this knot and your stomach, you feel like you're fighting for air, and feel like it's surreal. She has done such an incredible job of describing this. In this instance, I'm going to put this in with my favorites because it really hits home.
Well said, thank you, Bobby. Okay, so I'm going to grab the next poll here, and I think there's a SoundCloud for this one. I'll paste that. Look at the SoundClouds here. Okay. Hopefully this is the right poem.
Like a Dust of Snow by Martha Gatta. Memories like a dust.
I'm going to have to repost her poem here. Okay. All right, sorry, I'll get to the group here. Okay, there's that. Here's the SoundCloud.
Like a Dust of Snow by Martha Gatta. Memories like a dust of snow fell upon my arm, and you touched my day with a lingering charm. All the sweet and charming things to me you once said. Once again they played around in my head. Memories turning cartwheels as I thought of you once more. No more tears and sadness as so many times before. Just the sweet kisses and warm embraces and the lasting smiles there upon our faces. Memories like soft snow fell upon my day, bringing loving thoughts of you my way. Thoughts that always make me smile and help me through another mile. Memories of the days I held you close to me, and life was as good as I ever hoped it'd be. Memories fill my days and keep me warm, as in my arms I hold the beauty of your form. Memories like soft snow fell upon my day, bringing loving thoughts of you my way. Thoughts that always make me smile and help me through another mile. Yes, the dust of snow that came into my day filled my heart and mind with more than I can say. A day that was just another day to get through became a day filled with joyful memories of you.
Wonderful poem and singing. I really enjoyed it. You know, her raw talent is shining through in this piece. But, you know, memories turning cartwheels as I thought of you once more, no more tears and sadness as many times before. Just the sweet kisses and warm embraces and the lasting smiles that are upon our faces. You know, when we choose to remember the good things, I think that's positive. What are your thoughts, Mark?
The use of the falling snow to trigger the memories I thought was a very effective device. Memories can fall like snow. Little bits of moments released one after the other until it becomes a song, until it becomes a poem. And you can take that last verse, yes, a dust of snow that came into my day filled my heart and mind with more than I can say. A day that was just another day to get through became a day filled with joyful memories of you. Kind of encapsulates everything that went before it. So, well done, Martha Gettle.
Thank you, Lord. And Bobby?
I, Martha's work, she, even if it's sad, it has a tinge of sweet and happiness to it. She always seems to divine the positive from something. The memories of the days I held you close to me and life was as good as I hoped it ever to be. Memories fill my day and keep me warm as in my arms I hold the beauty of your form. She's so loving and compassionate in the way she describes relationships and things. I really enjoy the way Martha expresses herself.
Absolutely. Thank you for sharing that. And Lee, what did you think?
I believe that Martha has a way just to touch your heart. You know, you can't live with somebody and, you know, through all the seasons, through all the years, and not gather these treasure troves of memories that she's spent with them, you know, like watching the snow fall. You know, she says that, you know, when she was thinking about this, she says that, you know, because when somebody's gone, you do cry for them, you miss them, because that spot can never be filled except by them. But what they can do is they can leave us with these beautiful memories. You know, she says she's not crying right now. She says, and she didn't feel the sadness that she felt before. She says this time she remembered the sweet kisses and the warm embrace and how they looked into each other's faces and smiled. And so that, you know, that stands along with memories like soft snow fell upon my day, bringing loving thoughts of you my way, thoughts that always make me smile and help me through another mile. You know, sometimes this is what it takes for us to get through the day, and then we look forward to when we can see them again. Beautiful, beautiful song.
Well said. Thank you, Lee. Okay, I've got Frank's right up, and he has a SoundCloud.
The whispers of mysticism echo with the maritime waves, calling the Celtic sails to return to the majestic Spanish coast, where an old lighthouse stands as a beacon upon a lone promontory, with granite ashlars facing the great depth of the Atlantic Ocean. A Galician nettle blossoms awake with sacred winds of the past, brushing the rock carvings of the Roman stones of a dormant cemetery, as the mighty breath of Zeus blows over the listless crags and shale. Hidden myths exist in the sturdy facade of an ecstatic beauty. Hark to the swashing sounds of the restless tides bustling as they seek to serenade the fading glow of the lighthouse. When the day is still virginal and the rays of the sun have not shone, nor do the cerulean waters of the ocean reach a full crescendo. The wings of gulls are seen above, the puffy mass of somber clouds. Winds, the souls of a nearby cemetery, arise to greet the voyage of the sailors traveling through the endless mouth of legends. Yonder, the horizon approaching with a melancholic mist. Thither stands the Tower of Hercules. End of poem.
Well, that was beautifully read. You know, you can see his theatrical experience in this. But, you know, the poem itself is definitely classical and, you know, a powerful poem on the subject of the sailor and Zeus and Hercules. The wings of gulls are seen above the puffy mass of somber clouds, whence the souls of the nearby cemetery arise to greet the voyage of the sailors traveling through the endless month of the legends yonder, the horizon approaching with the melancholic mist. Just a powerful poem throughout. What did you think, Mark?
The last few lines that you quoted, I grabbed as well. And before that, I believe it was the second stanza that really grabbed me, although they're all fine. A Galatian meadow of blossoms, awake with sacred winds of the past, rushing the rock carvings of the Roman stones of a dormant cemetery, as the mighty breath of Zeus blows over the listless crags and shale. Hidden myths exist, the sturdy facade of an aesthetic beauty. This is so well described with his innate sense of history and complete appreciation of language. He does a marvelous job in this.
Well said. Thank you, Lauren. And, Bobby, what are your thoughts?
Oh, I thought this was a superb piece. The word that ran through my head when I was listening was Homeric. It's almost Homeric in its flavor and its descriptiveness. Hark, sound like the rays of the sun have not shone, nor do the cerulean waters of the ocean reach a full crescendo. The visual imagery in this is stunning. He's painted this incredibly detailed word painting for us, and it also evoked many sensory things, the smells, the sounds. It's a thoroughly enjoyable piece, and it's epic in the way he describes it. The thither stand the tower. For the last line is just the capstone of the whole piece.
Absolutely. Thank you, Bobby. Great comment. And Louie, what are your thoughts?
Well, you know, Frank is just a fantastic writer. I loved how you fall into this time, into this past. You know, he right away he sets it up where he says the Tower of Hercules. I really liked the first stanza because it just sets it up for the rest of the poems. I'm watching Britannia right now. And, you know, the mysticism, the worship of the gods, the Celtic trails, the Romans, you know, it's just amazing how they survived, how they use, you know, these towers to prevent, you know, the seafaring soldiers that were on the sea not to hit the rocks and cliffs and stuff. This was amazing. It was like watching a storybook open or getting a summary right before I get into a series of this. This was excellent. I enjoyed it very
absolutely.
Much.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. Thank you, Lee. That was a great comment. Okay, so I'm going to post the next poem. And if you wouldn't mind, please, Lauren.
Certainly. This is called I Talk to Walls. By Jack Tomkovic. My feet ripped and bloody, the true path has knocked me down, swept me off my feet, hurled me into darkness, too unyielding to traverse, no map to follow, no trail is straight. I have strayed, taken turns, twisted ankles, walked in circles, no point to the pain I speak. no listeners. I talk to walls, my screams fall on rocky soil, my seeds don't sprout. Shepherd without flock, flock with no east or west, can't find my sheep, nightmares taunt, can't sleep. Cassandra's cogent, no ears in the Colosseum, bread in circuses for all the mice. Crystal balls are passé, pizza by the slice, palpates the flip-flop crowd. Guess I'm outvoted twice. End poem.
Mm-hmm.
And in the author's notes, he says, it's difficult to live or even try to live righteously, and yet we are called, and so do I. And so I do try peace. And that's his conclusion to the poem. No, I thought it was wonderfully penned, very descriptive and image-filled. You can feel all this as he speaks it. No trail is straight, I have strayed, taken turns, twisted ankles, walked in circles. No point to the pain I speak, no listeners. You know, we're all out there walking this trail of life by ourselves, and, you know, sometimes there are no people to hear what we have to say. It's a fabulous write. What did you think, Bobby?
I really enjoy this. It's very philosophical, very soulful. I mean, as you're reading it, you can feel the anguish. Too unyielding to traverse, no map to follow, no trail is straight. I have strayed, taken turns, twisted ankles, walked in circles. There's a feeling of hopelessness and desperation. I like it. I talk to walls, and who among us has not had a moment where they've just basically issued forth to the ethers? You know, it's like, why me? Why is this happening? And you get the same feeling of anguish from him. It's really quite a profound piece.
Thank you, Bobby. And Lee, what are your thoughts?
You know, I was writing the comment. I said, people seem so lost these days without love and respect for traditions and love of neighbors. It is hard to deal with non-reasoning thoughts frozen only to themselves. You know, and I agree, you know, it is hard to live in this world when everybody is only thinking of themselves and what they want and not thinking of the good of the others or their neighbors or traditions. So many things the last 4 years have vastly changed. The kindness of to be neighbors and hearts and traditions, you know, everything has vastly changed. I agree. It's an excellent and painful poem.
Great comment. Thank you, Leah. Okay, so next we've got Salwa, and she has a SoundCloud, so we'll play that. If I can find the group. There it is, okay. All right, and now the SoundCloud. Here we go.
Last poem. Beautiful rose. Belle rose, bella rosa, sweet fragrant petals, tenderly droned her heart, and will never depart. Tes doux pétales fragnants ont tendrement noyé son cœur, et ne quitteront jamais. Tui dolci petali profumati, hanno annegato teneramente il suo cuore e non se ne andranno mai. End of poem.
That was beautifully read, and a touching poem on how the rose will capture her heart forever. And I thought it was just a beautiful read, excellent write as well. What did you think, Lauren?
Your sweet, fragrant petals tenderly drown her heart and will never depart. The fragrance, the sweet petals never die. do they? They're always there to remember. Beautiful brevity.
Great comment. Thank you, Art. And Bobby, what did you think?
It's an homage to something that only exists to give us beauty in our life. And your sweet, fragrant petals, tenderly drawn for heart and will never depart. When you see a perfect rose, it's like a moment frozen in time. The only reason roses exist are to give us beauty. And she's expressed it so beautifully that the rose has touched her.
Yeah, I agree. Thank you, Bobby. And Lou, what are your thoughts?
Well, I thought she did a fantastic job on this brevity. It was for 15 words or less. But you wouldn't feel the weight of that small brevity that was 15 words or less, because it's just absolutely beautiful how something so delicate and so fragrant can just leave you breathless. And I thought this was beautifully penned.
Thank you, Lee. That was a great comment. Okay, I'm posting the next one up. Would you mind reading that, Bobby, please?
Not at all. And I bet it would sound even better if I took myself off the mute.
Yeah.
All righty. Hot. Is that the one we're reading?
Yes.
Hot by Jack Thompson. All right. Hot. Just want to make sure I had the right one. All righty. Yes. Yes, Bachi, but you can't read. Sorry, my cat he just decided to participate. Scorched her skin. Oh, yeah, he sees the sweetheart. He scorched her skin with the strength of the sin and kisses that burned as flame. He wrapped her and trapped her in satin and silk, but nobody grasped his frame. He knew the frame to conquer with rhyme, beating alliteration a crime, the chains to tame. And puddles of pain, don't step in the agony, darling. Oopsie, looks like rain.
Well, it definitely sounds like a bit of a toxic relationship, as was said in the first comment on the poem. He wrapped her and trapped her in silk and satin and silk, but nobody grasped his frame. You can see somebody being wrapped up and kind of bought into a relationship that they can't actually hold on to. It was definitely a hard-hitting poem. What did you think, Lauren?
I thought it was quite clever, especially the last stanza, and puddles of pain. Don't step in the agony, darling. Oopsie, looks like rain. Much appreciated.
Thank you, Lauren. That was a great comment. And Bobby, what did you think?
It's clever. I mean, it's almost... It reminded me of Pagliacci, who even though in his still has to smile, and that's what the ending feels like. The puddles of pain, don't step in the agony, darling. Very clever, making light of a very painful situation, and it's almost your heart reaches out to someone who does that and makes light of their situation. It's a really quite a deep piece.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Bobby. And Lee, what are your thoughts?
Well, I enjoyed it. How many of us haven't been in that situation where we love and sugarcoat and drape them in love, and then we realize they're the one that's protected and warm underneath all that draping we put them in. They don't want to grab our hand to pull us inside with them. How many of us have not had our heart broken like this, or, been involved with somebody that, you know, you just give and you just hope you get something back.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt, true that. All right. So I'm going to grab the next one here. And then if, when you see this, can you please read it, Leah? By Naomi
okay.
Sarah. Or sorry, by Kel Smiles.
Okay. His First Snow by Kel Smiles. We came to visit from sunny Australia. He met my whole family the same day. Daughters, grandchildren, siblings, etc. Great weather for the end of February. He was only mildly disappointed by this. After all, we had only 3 weeks to stay. That would be my husband, son, and me. I should have already mentioned that, but then it has been quite a few years. My husband was hoping for snowfall, being from Australia. He never seen it, although he heard it was cold. Blah. He was not all excited about the cold when it finally snowed the next week. He was pleased, but it didn't last long. He said, I saw it. I don't like it. Ugh, snow. I think I'm ready to go home. When it was time to go, he said, no. Not because he decided the snow was cool. He didn't want to leave our family. I didn't either. It was unfortunate, too. The following week, we flew back home to sunny Australia. We, the Miss family, but sure as hell didn't miss the snow. In poem.
Yeah, you know, when it's cold and snowy, you know, it's definitely a beautiful thing, but it's definitely hard to take if you're experiencing it for the first time, I can imagine. I really like watching, you know, YouTube videos and stuff where dogs and cats meet the snow for the first time. It's always funny.
Yeah.
mm-hmm.
But, I thought this was a beautifully written poem. Excellent read as well, Lee. And, Lauren, what are your thoughts?
Oh, I love the prompt he based it on. Snow, the way a crow shook down on me, the dust of snow from a hemlock tree. And that, I really like. We come from all points of the compass, some of us a long ways, to a country with a different climate, different, entirely different way of living. And one can fall in love with it, yet be disappointed by it if it's not totally different from what we normally experience. In this case, as someone who wants to see snow. And there's so many people who like snow, but only for a little time. Because after a while, you become aware of the misery it can bring, yet the experience is not to be missed. So I love the way that she put this together, including how happy he was to meet the family and did not want to leave because he loved the family.
Mm-hmm.
This precluded any kind of a bad ending I had experienced, I had supposed might occur. I liked it.
Great comment. Thank you, Lauren. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
I thought it was very amusing, considering that you know it's like you build up a an image of an experience, and then when it falls short of your visual imagery, it's like as although he heard it was cold. Blah. I don't like the colloquial way that just the piece. The very conversational tone of it. It's very relatable, especially since this is the time of year. It seems like we make these pilgrimages to people that we only see once a year. Sometimes it's fun and sometimes it's not. It looked like it was a mixed blessing in this case, but very well expressed.
Yeah. I agree. Thank you, Bobby. And Lee, what are your thoughts?
Well, I thought this was really well written, you know, the pages of her life. I liked where she says that she should have reminded us that this was with her husband and son, but she'd been married so long, she didn't think about it. But then she goes into the storytelling where he never has seen snow. And, you know, of course, you want to at least try something once. But what I really like was he didn't like the snow. The cold, I should say. Everybody likes snow just when you have to go out in it. And you know, what had happened was the warmth was built inside the house, because when it's like this, you mostly stay inside. And that's when you get to know family and friends. And I'm so glad that, you know, that he loved his wife's family. Excellent poem.
Absolutely, yes. Thank you. Okay, I have the next poem up. This is by Brian T. Duffield, and it's called Wintering Wild Magwitch. You slumbered under the trees in winter snow when shackles tightened screws around your wrists. The heavy tides that swelling swirled in mists foreshadowed prison ships with ghostly hulls. These blackened galleons were stains that mocked your broken path, where fractured rocks were strewn. Yet rather listen hard, where bodies pulse as rhythmic beats like metronomes in tune, as temples throbbing accord with distant tones, you heard redemption sound in cannon shot. There lived an age encased in far-off copse. Your house was desolate in season sun, where darkened places held a muted light. But air beneath your roof was trapped and locked, except for gusts erratic, tugging trees. But words still turn despite despairing winds. Your tale is told. I'll tell my fabled path. Gather birds will sing. Together birds will sing instinctive songs or hymns with choral tones of your release that follow flight above to England shore. Here, marshland stretched the flattened graying sky, while hidden stones then pebble dashed the land, and peppered inky clouds still gathered pace as gibbets welcomed home the broken man. Your bonds were throbbing through those purple veins, with kin of lonely wealth and toxic health, rejoining them like swallows get rocks, while massing homeward scissor scarlet skies. End poem. Wow, that was beautiful and descriptive. You can feel this, and you can feel the body's pulse, and you know, the rhythmic beats like metronomes in tune, as temple throbbed a chord with distant tones. You heard redemption sound like a cannon. You know, just a powerful poem. What did you think, Lloyd?
Well, Brian seems to look at what we do naturally, or want to do naturally, yet is completely pulled in by what nature does. I don't know if that makes any sense. There lived an age encased in far-off copse. Your house was desolate in season sun, where darkened places held a muted light, but air beneath your roof was trapped and locked, except for gusts erratic, tugging trees. But then he turns it around, and he's done with her tale, and now he's going to tell his tale. And it's all the beauty of nature. It's wonderfully done, beautifully phrased, lovely appreciation of the English language.
Wonderful comment. Thank you, Lloyd. And Bobby, what did you think?
Well, I agree completely with that. Excuse me, with that observation. Wonderful visual imagery, very descriptive, great language, and I think a masterful piece of storytelling also, because you're there with him, the marshland stretched, the flattened gray sky, while hidden stones then pebble dash the land. It just beautifully, beautifully described.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. And Lee, what did you think?
I think that he did a beautiful job in writing this. I was reading his author's notes, and he says that my interpretation of the poem was that the prompt juxtaposes the conflict between man's moral imperative and his natural instincts. The poem celebrates our instinctive links to nature that through imagination foregoes our place in this world. I am currently reading Great Expectations by Dickens and made a connection between Wild Geese and Mad Witch's story. Despite danger created by the moralistically driven society, he listens to his nature instincts, leaving behind wealth and security to return to danger, all in order to reconnect with the natural bonds. His association with marshland and natural imagery also resonated with the prompt and its depiction as nature as an inspiration for creative writing. It's fantastic.
Well, thank you for sharing, Leah. Lord, I don't see the second poem that you added up. Oh, you added it to Bad Company, I think. Well. Hello, Lauren.
Yeah, I went ahead. I'll put it up.
I went ahead out there.
Okay,
also.
There you go. Okay.
All right. This is called.
Anytime you're ready, Lauren.
Yeah. This poem is dedicated to Micheline. It's called Micheline's War. Thin expletives fly loudly. Merde, zut alors, j'en fiche. Out the open window, running down the cobblestones, course correcting off white stucco, becoming lost in the red tiled air below the sky. Gated door slams, small assertive feet stomp their worn heels, one, two, scuffing a circle, sticking in it. The Bosch, she breathed, here to acquire their home, the garrison, the conquerors of France. Simply, as the thread for the silent cyclone spun into a drifting shadow, moving with any wind, hatred and revenge fueled her light. Fire and bombs, innocent treachery and betrayal were to be her tools, well-honed, skillful tools. But first, 17 good years, then her 18th brought hell. An awful black door opened. Surging from within came clanking metal monsters breathing fire, followed by waves of human-like wraiths in the morning fog, scurrying forward in the haze of their victory. Her first rape had left her bitterly, angrily sad. From silence to a howl, there was much to explore. The second was her last. She learned not to bathe, fouling herself, the stench driving off drunken soldiers, as well as handsome suitors. Finally, she left home, wandering, invisible, a gray flake of ash like all the others. Micheline, came the hiss of her name on the evening air. She held her breath as she lay hidden in church ruins, where she sheltered nightly on a small cot. Again, her name, voice insistent, exasperated, familiar. Claudette, she whispered, a close cousin. But how? Come, there is no time. We leave now. La résistance a besoin de nous. Micheline smiled at the stark melodrama of the moment to rescue her country. Grabbing a worn potato sack containing her possessions, she stepped out into a pouring rain, turning her face to the sky, smiling into the chill of the season, into the cleansing shower of a new reality. Le sacré cœur, she breathed. Ma belle France, I will fight for you. End poem.
Yeah.
Well, this is the first I've heard of Micheline, but you captured her storyline quite beautifully. You know, you could put this as in any kind of a text and have it relate to the reader. I thought it was just beautifully done, Lauren. Excellent job throughout.
Thank you.
The imagery is fantastic, and you can feel the emotions in the end of the poem there,
mm-hmm.
where Sacre Coeur
just to give you context, sorry for the interruption. Just to give context, Miss Lean is my mother.
Oh, really? Wow, that's beautiful. Beautiful. What did you think, Bobby?
I thought this was very stirring. It is you can't help but feel of what's being experienced by Michelin and hurt in quite an impressive lady that it was written about.
Thank you, Bobby. That was a great comment. And Lee, what did you think?
Did Lauren say this was his mother?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, this reminds me of one of my best friend's mother. You know, we live in a time where we weren't surrounded with World War I and World War II. And, you know, just the history of trying to survive. You know, you had to survive from the bombs and the bombing, them invading, and then you had to worry about the people in the street that were hungry, that were, you know, taking advantage of young women without their mothers and fathers. You know, I just can't, you know, right here, I know my best friend, her mother was dug out of the ruins when Germany had bombed the church in the area that she was in, and her hair turned white, and it never went back to her brown color. But right here, you know, this just the pain. Just think, grabbing a worn potato sack containing her possessions. That's all she's got. She stepped out into the pouring rain, turning her face to the sky, smiling into the chill of the season, the cleansing shower of a new reality. You know, even in war, there are those glimpses of hope and moments of, you know, sanity from the insanity. This is a fantastic poem, Laurent. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Thank you.
And I want to thank you all for calling in to share your hearts, your minds, your voices, and especially your time tonight with me. I appreciate you all. Much love, poets.
Good night, everybody. Good night, Gray, Laurent,
night.
Bobby,
good night.
Frank. Bye, guys. Besitos.
Good night. Love you.